Thank you. Sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling, in his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. you were singing by yourself.
Jesus, who died upon a cross and rose again to save the lost. Forgive me now of all my sin. Complete my Savior, the Lord and friend. Change my life and make it new, and help me, Lord, to live for you. Change my life and make it new, and help me, Lord, to live for you. Jesus, who died upon a cross and rose again to save the lost. Work in me now of all my sin, complete my say, the Lord and friend. Save my life and make it new, and help me, Lord, to live for you. Change my life and make it new, and help me, Lord, to live for you. Change my life and make it new. Help me, Lord, to live for you. Change my life and make it new. Help me do, and help me, Lord, to live for you. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to shout the way from the earth to the cross. My debt's to pay from the earth, from the grave. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to shout the way from the earth to the cross. My debt's to pay from the earth, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to shout the way from the earth to the cross. My debt's to pay from the earth, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. you came from heaven to earth to shout the way from the earth to the cross. My debts to pay from the earth to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
About you, but I was sitting there thinking about all the young people down through the years. We had our oldest group of young people that were here when I came. Now, those young people are married and raising up children of their own, and they're here. You look at our college age kids, they were that younger generation at one time, and now they're in school studying and growing up adult into adulthood. We have another age group of young people, that elementary and high school kids. And I tell you, it's always a blessing to see how generation to generation they just keep coming, and I thank the Lord for that. And I was looking at these kids that were just up here. That is the youngest group of young people that we have at this moment. We have some that are not with us tonight, but they will be in years to come. Lord, tarrying is coming. They're going to be a teenage generation one of these days. Prayerfully, the teenage generation that we have now will one day be also bringing their children. And then she just starts all over again. I love seeing young people in the house of God. What a blessing, what a joy, what a thrill it is. You know, tonight we have one of those young people that would have been here tonight had she not had an accident. Little Parker, we got a call this evening. She had fallen on the blacktop out in front of her papa's place and knocked a tooth out and busted her mouth up, and so messed up her nose. Poor little thing, I tell you what, and we promised that we would be a prayer for her tonight. So you be sure, put her on your prayer list and pray for her and think about her and pray for her throughout the night. And that was a promise made, and we're going to keep that promise for sure. And I wanted to make sure you all knew that. So do be praying for her as well. Now tonight we're going to begin this chapter 4 of the book of Colossians. And I pray that the Lord will bless us tonight. It's nothing new, and it's nothing that you have never heard before. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 1 down through verse 5 to begin with, but we'll read down through verse 6 and try to cover all these tonight. And it's just an encouragement to God's people to be godly, be Christ-like, to live the Christian life regardless of your state in this life you now live. Whether you're a person of authority, whether you're a servant, regardless of who you are and what you are, you're to always remember that you're a child of the King. Amen? You're a child of God. That means something. And it ought to mean something to each and every one of us to know that we are children of God. We ought to portray that in a way that shows the light of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world around us. The Bible says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal." Now, I'm going to begin this message with this thought. I believe here that the Apostle Paul is speaking to Christian people of authority. He's speaking to those that are in a position of leadership. And he's telling them here, "Give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." Then he goes on to say, "Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Then he goes on to say, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." I want to bring a message tonight just simply entitled, "The Duties of Good and Godly People." Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight as we bow in your presence, we do so with thankful heart. We thank you, dear God, that we have the privilege and the opportunity to come into thy presence, knowing, dear God, that you're the God that hears your children. Lord, I pray tonight that you will open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Lord, help us, thy children, tonight to be the greatest example of Christianity that there has ever been. Help us tonight, dear God, to reflect upon the thought that a lost, dark, and dying world needs to see the light of Jesus. Lord, they're not going to see that light unless we portray it through our own lives. Father, help us tonight to realize that sometimes the only church, the only Bible people know of is what they read in the lives of thy children. So, Father, tonight I pray that you help us, give us deliverance, give us the ability to bring this out in a way that is very, very honestly open enough that we may all hear and understand. Bless us throughout the evening. Lord, forgive us our sin. In Jesus Christ's name, and amen. Emmanuel, to our visiting friends, as we embark upon this final chapter of the book of Colossians, we find some real good advice for God's children. As I have said many times before, God's holy word has everything we need to know in order to live the Christ-like, Christ-centered life. And in this lesson, we will once again come to understand this. So first of all, tonight, in this very first verse of Scripture, of chapter 4, the book of Colossians, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." Christian masters are exhorted to be honest. They're exhorted to be just in their dealings with their servants. The last thing the world needs is a dishonest so-called Christian in business. There is enough already in business. We surely don't need the Lord's children doing the devil's bidding. Amen. That's one thing for sure. The Bible says in Ezekiel 45 and 10, "Ye shall have just balances and just ephah and a just bath." Even in our giving, even in our tithes and offerings, the Lord says you need to be just in all your dealings. The Bible goes on to tell us In Ephesians chapter 6, we've already covered this, but I'll go back here and look at this again with you. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please. Ephesians 6, verses 5 down through verse 9. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. We go back to the book of Proverbs for just a moment. Proverbs in chapter 11. Think about these scriptures now. The Bible states this in verse 1 down through verse 6, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. Be honest in your dealings. Paul here is dealing with the church at Colossae, and he's simply telling them, listen, regardless of what you're doing, regardless of what state you are in life, be honest. Be people of integrity. And again, I've often said, these are words that are never heard in today's society. Honor, honesty, and integrity. But these are the things that ought to make up the Christian's life. These are the things that ought to make up the Church of Emmanuel's life. Each and every member of this body ought to be a person who has integrity, who is filled with honor and honesty, who do right in everything that they do. They're not trying to beat anybody out of business. They're not trying to beat anybody out of a dollar. Just doing what's right and what's just and equal. I believe that's the reason why here in Proverbs 11 we see that the Word of God is telling us something needs to be done. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride cometh, to them cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the right shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. You know, a lot of times people today in business, and I'm not just saying this, I want you to get a hold of what I'm saying. You know, I've heard people on the job, you know, when I was in construction, you had certain men that were in charge of certain projects, and if they were able to get it in before the deadline and so many days before that, they were able to gain what I would have considered as an old laborer, I would have considered great wealth what they were getting. And they would do anything in their power to get it. They didn't care who they cheated. They didn't care what you put on the paper, long as the numbers matched. You know, I had one individual tell me, he said, son, when I was sitting there and I was trying to fill out some timesheets for a bunch of men, he said, you got to learn how to pencil whip it. I said, what do you mean you got to learn how to pencil whip it? He says, you got all kinds of numbers. Just use them. Just make sure that this project looks like it's on schedule. And you know, I began to think, oh my, that's that unjust balance that Proverbs, Solomon, they were talking about this. Folks, I want you to know something. Those are the issues that gets good Christians in trouble. When we forget what the ultimate goal is. The ultimate goal is not our prestige, but it is actually the glory of the Almighty God of heaven. And how does He do that? How does He receive glory from His children? By the way that we act. By the way that we portray ourselves, even in times of business or regardless of what it is. Proverbs 20 and 23. We'll turn back here for just a moment. Proverbs 20 and 23. The Bible says, "Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good." Just be people of integrity is what he's saying. Make sure you, if you're a person who's in charge of other people, if you're a person who's in authority of others, if you're a person who has the ability to see to it that people are doing good, listen, do right by it. You'll not fail. You can ask men in here tonight, men who have been in authority. You treat people right, and they'll treat you right. Now, don't get me wrong, there's always going to be a bad egg in there somewhere. There's always one of those bad apples that just, regardless of what you do, they're going to try their best to beat you at it. You just make sure whatever you do is right with God. Amen. Make sure whatever you do is good business with God. Now, secondly, God's people are exhorted to be a people of prayer. We go back to our text. You all are with me tonight, aren't you? It's awfully quiet in this house tonight. You know, there's a reason why people call and ask God's people to pray for them. Verse 2 down through verse 4, the Bible says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all prayer also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Be a people of prayer in every situation. Be always ready to call upon Him who hears us. In Psalm 65, in verse 2, the Bible states this, "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." You believe tonight that God hears your prayers? You know the reason why we can have that assurance? Because of what we find in Hebrews 4. The Bible states in verse 14 down through verse 16, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In every circumstance, every problem of life, even when you're, you know, I've had people to come to me and say, "Our pastor just ain't feeding us no more. Our pastor's not giving us what we need." Have you ever thought about praying for him? You ever stopped to consider that your pastor is not a perfect man? He's not a supernatural man. Your pastor is only a human being just like we are. He needs prayers. He needs prayers when he's found himself in the study. When he's down on his knees praying, "God, open up thy word that I may have something to feed your children with." Be willing to pray for your pastor. be willing to go the extra mile and have family prayer for your pastor. Paul was stating here, so I might have the proper utterance, that I may speak what I need to speak, not only to the lost and dying world around us, but to the church family. Luke 18:1, the Bible states this, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Do you pray? Do you pray with all belief that He's going to hear you? You know, as I've stated this before, I had a person to look at me one time and said, "You're a very gullible preacher." I said, "What do you mean?" And the lady looked at me, she said, "Do you really believe that He hears you?" I said, "Well, sure I believe. I wouldn't be much of a pastor or a preacher if I didn't believe." She stopped and looked at me, she said, "You're a gullible preacher." I said, "That's all right. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that the Lord will open the eyes of those who cannot see." In Ephesians 6:18, the Bible says this, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Oh, my friend tonight, pray for your pastor. Pray for each other. Pray for every situation that you're going through. You're sick, pray God will give you healing. If you're sick, you go to the man of God and say, "Pray that God will give me healing." If you're sick, the Bible says, go to the elders, that they may pray for thee. Listen, people don't believe that stuff no more. Folks, I just happen to believe that God's word is still true and it still works today. First Timothy 2:8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Be a people of prayer. And lastly, walk Christ-like as a child of God. We go back to our text in verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Here the Bible's directing the Christian to be Christ-like in every situation. Even when you feel like you've been wronged, you make sure that you're Christ-like. You make sure that regardless of the outcome, see that you walk circumspectly, as it says in Ephesians 5:15, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. People are always looking for an excuse to put the Christian down. Make sure you don't give them that excuse. Colossians 3:16-17. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and of the Father and by Him." I close with this one right here, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. "An account, the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. He done that back in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. He was writing unto the saints there. As also in all epistles, speaking unto them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest also ye, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But what are we to do? The Bible says we're to grow in grace and knowledge in the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. God's people are to be people of integrity and honor. We're to be people of honesty in all of our dealings, whether it's in the church or out of the church. You're to be an example of Christ in everything that you do. You're to be a people of prayer. It does the pastor's heart good when people call and pray and it's asked that you pray for them. Be a people who walk Christ-like in every situation. May God help us tonight to uphold these first six verses of Scripture, as it is our duty to be good and godly people, to be faithful, to be exhorting, to be caring, to be that one that points others to Christ, even by our very attitude, by our walk, and by our purpose. May the Lord help us is our prayer. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow before your throne, we do so with thankful heart. We thank you, dear God, that you are a God that informs us through thy word and what you expect from thy children. Now we are to be children of integrity and honor and honesty. We're to be a people who's always willing to pray and to be Christ-like in every situation. Help us tonight, dear God, to fight off Satan's attacks. Help us, dear God, tonight to be that Christian in everything that we do and say. Lord, we ask that you watch over us and forgive us our sin. In Christ's name, amen. Have our song leader, he has to come.